just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach.
Welcome back to Life Matters. This is Mariah Wilde, your host, and I'm so happy you're with us tonight. We have a very special guest, April Zlatnik, who's going to be sharing with us about the heartache, yes, the difficulty, but also the hope and triumph of coming through foster care and what foster care has done for her. So I really appreciate this time, April, of you letting us into your heart and into your history to give us a glimpse of what some of these children that we're working with right now may be experiencing so that we can help them even more. So where we were at right before the break is that we were talking about that really rough year. You had that year, and life was not easy. Your dad abandoned your part of the family with you and your brother with cerebral palsy, and then left with your sisters, who you did get to see for a few years, but then after seven, he really kind of disappeared from your life, and unfortunately taking them with him. And so I'm catching people up because they may just be joining us after the break. And then during that year and a half, your brother was in the hospital for about 8 months, and that must have been so hard. And then your mom was diagnosed as being bipolar. What were some of the symptoms? What do you remember about the bipolar? Because I know a lot of people don't really understand what that's like with the manic side and the depressive side. From a kid's perspective, what was it like?
It was terrifying. It was so scary, Mariah. I just remember you couldn't predict anything. You didn't know what was going to happen when. It just happened. And you just, as a kid, you go into survival mode because you don't know when everything's going to be great or when you're going to have to tiptoe as gently as you can and try to be invisible. Mm. I just remember in particular being in our home, and my mom would disappear into her room for days at a time, and I would be in the rest of our home with my brother, and or brother and little sister actually at the time, and how I wouldn't be allowed to open the blinds. If anyone knocked on the door, I wasn't allowed to answer the door. I just felt trapped and scared. And there were times that she would come out, one time in particular that I remember, I think really because of the bipolar, because she wasn't like this before that. So I just remember her coming out into the kitchen one time and grabbing everything she could reach for, the flour, anything, and throwing it all across the kitchen, and then pointing at me and pointing at it and saying, "Now clean it up," and walked back into her room, and I didn't see her for another few days.
And that's even more, it's so confusing, and I'm sure you're just like, what? Why are you doing this? And then you had your little sister and changing her diapers and feeding her, and then did you actually help your brother go to the bathroom, get in bed? What did you need to do for him?
Honestly, I don't remember some of those details because I was in such survival mode. Like, what I remember is protect Nicole and Chris from being hit. Try to find food. And, you know, I was thinking along those lines, so I honestly don't remember a lot of the details of helping my brother with the bathroom or changing his diaper or anything like that.
So I'm thinking you must have, because if he was in a wheelchair, somebody had to do it, and your mom wasn't doing it, and then there wasn't, like, nurse's aides coming in, right?
Right.
Wow. Right. So you may have blanked out some of it, because it just had to have been so incredibly painful. And it's, you know, while you're talking, I think about you as a young girl, and my heart goes to you, but then I also think about kids and teenagers in that position right now, and I just, wow. This is very, unfortunately, it's not atypical. There's things like this happening. There's a sibling group of five in our agency, and I'm so grateful that they've actually been adopted. But one, their oldest was a teenage girl, and their mom was a prostitute, and she used to, you know, her mom, I don't know why, would keep them in the car when she would go do her, quote, work. And then there was drugs involved and things like that. And then here she was. These were the children that she took care of, and then coming into foster care. It was so hard to relinquish that role of being the caretaker. just because she didn't know if anybody else would actually do it. But then being cared for and loved as a young girl herself, as a teenager, she was able to allow her brothers and sisters to be parented because she wanted that for them. But it was such a hard, it makes me just feel for all children, but also for those teenagers and children who are trying to take care of their brothers and sisters, and you're doing the best job you can. But boy, against all odds, if you don't have enough food and you have a mom who's controlling things from the bedroom and not available to you at all, and not going to school. So your brother during this time didn't go to school either? Y'all were just kind of home most of the day?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. And so then at 13, how did you even find out? So at this point, you were living in a van, and your brother had been in the hospital, but he was out now, and then your sister was around too. So what happened? How do you believe you even ended up in foster care?
Well, I know that school officials, my grandma probably, and other people, friends of the family, really called in and said, hey, there are these issues. And I know that there were some times that some friends, well, there was this one time in particular when my mom was out and we were staying at a friend's house, and the friends all came to me, and they say, we know what's happening. We want to get you out of this situation. We want to help you, but we need to hear from you what's going on. We need stories that we could tell the agency.
Mm-hmm.
And I was scared to death. I was like, no, if I do it, I will get hurt so bad. I can't. And they coaxed me, and they said, we're going to watch out for you. We're going to try and take care of you. And so I got up the courage I could, and it took every ounce of my being to even tell them the stories because I was so scared. And they reported it to the agency, and one thing that ended up happening that was a huge mistake, absolutely huge mistake, was that the agency approached my mom and said, hey, we're investigating you for this reason. This is what we were told. And so the next time I remember anything about that situation, we were at a different friend's house, and I saw my mom in the hallway, and she looked at me and said, I know what you did, and don't you think you can get away from or get away with it, and when we are alone again, you're going to get it. And sure enough, the next time that we were alone, we were in a hotel room, and she really beat me up.
So you can understand, you know, there are a lot of children that either that they do say yes, a lot of times sexual abuse too, but they'll say, yes, this is what happened. But then the next person that talks to them about it, they recant it. And they say, no, I didn't say that. No, that's not what happened. And they're so frightened. So it sounds like you completely understand that. And I think that's important for foster parents to hear, because sometimes children will tell foster parents something that happened to them. And even though they're already in a safe home, there's that fear that my mom or dad are going to find me, and then they're going to hurt me more than I've ever been hurt before. And so you sounds like you... I was going to say it wasn't rational, but actually it was, because it did backfire there at first. And so what you're saying is the agency, which was not CPS in Texas, but a CPS in another state, she was able to figure out. So they should have just removed you guys, but instead it sounds like your mom talked her way out of it at first.
Yeah. You know, I just want to kind of touch on the point you were talking about with foster parents understanding this about their kids. And, you know, that feeling of being unsafe, when you get it as a child, it grows deep, unfortunately. And it took a while for me, even in foster care, to feel safe. And I had the most amazing foster mom. And so for me, like, because of the foster mom that I had and the so many years that I had of actually being mostly safe before all of the abuse started, I was able to recuperate really quickly that first time. But kind of after I got out of foster care, there were some events that happened that really rocked me to the core, and it was so hard that really, like, when I got married, it took probably about the first 4.5 years of my 5.5-year marriage before I felt safe enough, even in my marriage with the most amazing man I've ever known, to feel safe again.
Wow. Okay. And so what did happen? We're going to touch on that too in a little while. What happened? Yeah. How did you end up in foster care?
I don't know all the details of how it happened. I just remember that it was December 16th, and I was 13, so it must have been 1994, and I just remember that that particular day I was sent to school, which was a little bizarre, and I had built a relationship with one teacher there at that time, but I remember that they told me that my sister's dad was going to pick me up after school, and I really didn't understand why all this was happening, but I remember being picked up, and we went into this boardroom at the agency, and my mom was there crying and sobbing, and, you know, my little sister was there, and my brother was there, and all these adults I didn't know were there, and they were explaining that very, very well done, in my opinion, but they just explained that my mom just can't take care of us right now, and that they're going to put us in homes where, you know, adults can take care of us while my mom gets better.
Mm-hmm. And you said, you thought to yourself, yeah, I do know she can't take care of us. That's not new news, right? I've actually been telling people that for a while. They didn't have to wait till you were 13 for that to come out, but okay. But probably the worst thing that happened at that time was that your little baby sister didn't go with you. That I wonder if that, do you remember, sometimes we block out a little bit things that are very painful, but I imagine especially being the primary caregiver and changing her diapers and holding her and loving her, and when she cried, when she left you to go with her dad, that must have just been so painful, and I bet it reminded you of when you were younger and your other sisters left.
Honestly, like, there was so much trauma around that stage of life that in terms of how I felt or some of those thoughts, I don't remember all those thoughts, honestly.
Yeah.
But again, it's just blocking out because there was so much other stuff going on. But I remember, I think I felt pretty okay about my sister going with her dad because I knew her dad. And I knew her aunt that I was really close to, who was a mentor in my life as well. So I knew that she was going to be in really good hands. And I remember being scared about being separated from my brother because we've been together his whole life at that point. And I remember them telling him and drawing like stick figures on a paper for him about his new home with a woman named Molly and all that stuff, and then that I was going to go live with my aunt. And I actually was scared to go live with my aunt because I just felt like I was scared of my family all around at that point. And I wasn't really sure I wanted to live with my aunt, and I didn't want to be separated from my brother, but I was just relieved more than anything to know that they were going to be in really good places.
And that, yes, and that you knew probably that surely where we're going cannot be worse than what we have already been through. And that's good. We're on the upswing of the story. Things do get better from here. So y'all do not go away. You're listening to Life Matters on the Word 98.5 and 99.3. Check us out at familylinkkids.com. And if you're interested, try something that I'm using. It actually helps for a couple things. Takes away pain, can help you sleep, or keep your mental clarity, which is something that I always need because, boy, where are we going day and night? And you can check that out at mariawilde.cieaura.com. We'll be right back.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.